Perdana Podcast. Tan Sri Arshad speaks about life as a schoolboy, growing up during the Japanese occupation of Malaya during World War II. It was a hard existence, struggling just to get enough to eat. He says such harsh conditions made him more understanding of poverty.
I was born almost 88 years ago in 15th November 1928. So in 1928, until about 5 or 10 years after that, as a kampung boy at Parit Kromo Moa, the condition of living at that time was not bad. My parents are rubber tappers, but we have a house to live in. We have enough food to eat. My school, Parit Kromo Malay School Moa, is about 1.5 miles from my home. We walk to school barefooted. And the school at that time, being a Malay school, is just more like a long house. And there is standard 1, standard 2, standard 3, and standard 4, and only separated by blackboard. So, you know, there is no partition at all. The partition only blackboard. When I first in standard 1, we don't have a book. We have a slate, just one piece of slate, and the writing is also a pencil. So whenever you finish doing your work, you delete it. So this is the type of school for 1 year. So most of the time, in the first year, 1 year, you learn almost by heart. And one of the things we got to do in school is to have mental arithmetic, what we call the times, up to times 12. 12 times 1, 12, 12 times 2, 24. You train your mind. And in the afternoon, we have religious classes for 1 hour. Either you go to standard 1, standard 2, standard 3, you go for 1 hour. If you go to higher, Sekolah Agama, religious school, standard 3, 4 and 5, then you go for 1.5 hours. So these are the basic things. So I was there in 3 years in the Malay school. Then after 3 years in the Malay school, we have a special exam. This special exam, almost the age of 9 years or 8 years old, this special exam will allow you to go into the English school. So for the whole of Moa district, there were two classes. There were 60 people who were admitted at that time known as English Preparatory School in the town. Then I got to walk to school, of course. I can't afford that time to have a bicycle. We walked to school. When the war came, I went, this is the poverty starts just after, during the Japanese occupation. So during the Japanese occupation, I did not go to school, except for 6 months only, long enough to learn R-E-U-A-O, Ka-ki-ku-ke-ku, the Japanese. So I know a few words for 6 months. You know how to say good morning, Ohayo gozaimasu. Then you say, what is your name? Anata no namae wa nan desu ka? So just a few words. I did not go to school except, as I mentioned, only 6 months. So then I started working. By that time, I was already about 14 years old. I was helping the family, and my father died during the Japanese occupation. I believe it's from diarrhea or dysentery. During the Japanese occupation, I suffered tremendously because we have no getah tak laku, nothing. We just depend on 1-2 acres. And my father died during the Japanese occupation. My mother was still alive. So when I sat for my exam in December 1948, we have last 1 acre of land. That's the time when my mother sold the last acre of land to feed us to go to school. That's how difficult life is. And during that Japanese occupation, I paddled trishaw to earn money. Then I helped my distant uncle to run a bullock cart, jual kayu, and then on the way back, carry something else. So I'll almost become macam assistant bullock cart driver. And then later, I drove trishaw, you know, even until school certificate. Until preparing myself for the school certificate, until one of the teachers, Mr. Gordon Ward, Eurasian teacher, who took pity on me and told me, please stop peddling your trishaw. And he gave me 20 ringgit a month for 1 year. So that I stopped. So that's what, Then I stopped paddling thrasher. So that reminds me, we even have in those days, even when you prepare yourself for the overseas school certificate, you have private tuition. And I know one teacher who gave private tuition to two of the boys. And because he likes me and he helped me to get better result in mathematics, he invited me to come and join these two, free, for free. You know, who told me, okay, you can have it. You can join the class. So I didn't pay anything. So, you know, there is a lot of help I get from friends, from teachers, and so on. And one of the teachers, when I sat for the overseas school certificate, I went to his house, take his bicycle, and ride home. And then early in the morning, I sent back the bicycle to him. But sometime I was late, poor teacher has got to walk for about half a mile to go to school. So a lot of people helped me to be what I am. So life before the war is a bit better. But during the Japanese occupation and after the war, until December 1948, from 1946 to 48, really I would regard myself, I come from the poorest of the poorest Malay family during that time. Most of the time, we eat tapioca and rice. And this is where, from 1946-48, I lived more like a nomadic life, staying from one friend's house to another. But that helps me later in life to make a better person, to be more resistant to poverty, to understand. Definitely, I understand poverty. You will only realize poverty if you will makan nasi baik dapat ubi satu hari satu kali. And my mother used to wash, tong basuh kain to income. That's what happened to my younger sister, also did that. Is we were more or less kena cari di sendiri lah. But sometimes you don't get it. So really, it's a very hard life. So except when I went then started paddling trishaw, and that's the income. So so to me, Japanese occupation is a very hard life. Although I was never tortured by the Japanese, but we see, you know. So when I went back to school, I had a shirt and a short given by the Red Cross. And that's the one, you only wash it on Friday, once a week, lepas tu pakai kain. So life is so hard at that time. To me, at that time, was especially during the Japanese occupation. And after that, until sampai sitting for the school certificate, during the Japanese, it's just necessity. There's no choice. It's a necessity in order for you to survive, in order to live. Kena potong jual, potong gumpuk, kena tanam mana ada tanah, whether there's a piece of land, you cultivate it and grow pisang, grow banana, grow tapioca, grow kangkung, anything you can do. Because it's almost subsistence living. And even the parade was then, looked after properly, and you put paddy. You grow rice on the parade, wherever you can. Any piece of land which was available then, even the padang was converted into growing tapioca. Even the Moa School padang at that time. Any vacant space must all be used. The land between the road and the parade and the drain, you put banana, whatever it is. So it's question of, I should say, it's question of survival. It's question of survival and question of necessity. So whether you can survive or not, of course, you remember also during that time, a number of us went to Thailand, you know, the Siam Burma Des Railways. So I know a group of us were in the school, and that time they were more like a national service. They pick you at certain age and send you to Thailand to build the Siam Burma. But I know that one of my friends, Arwah Ibrahim Ahmad, who is very clever in the school, in the classes, he went to Burma. We never heard of him after that. I don't know if he's still alive. Jadi an old folk somewhere. We never know. And some of them never returned. Yeah. This is the one that happened during the occupation. There is this macam compulsory lah, national service, just pick you up and to go and build Burma, Siam Burma Death Railway. When I look back, so whatever, and this is where, whatever I missed, whatever the experience I learned from myself, from my family, the supper of poverty, ill health, poverty, ill health, family bereavement. Yeah, all this never lose sight of my ambition and my determination. You know, that's what I just wanted to go. Still at that time, kita tak ada apa nak pergi university aja. So that's the determination to go there. So that's the most important thing.